And also, it's time to check in with Congressman Frank Lucas and find out how things are going there in the nation's capital. Good morning, Congressman.
Hello, Kais.
How are things in the nation's capital?
We are grinding along here in the legislative process.
Boy, it's a busy time for you guys, which is always busy time. But let's talk about some things that's in the news right now. Mm-hmm. Let's gas prices, American-made energy. I know you guys were being discussing that.
Exactly, guys. That's probably the single biggest challenge we face in this country. And anyone and everyone who's bought a gallon of gasoline any time in the last 3 months knows that the price has gone up and up and up, and it's affecting everyone dramatically at Oklahoma. Now, whether it is the family budget, and I know if you watch the national news, you listen to the national radio news, they talk sometimes about how much cheaper gasoline is in Oklahoma, Arkansas, Texas than the rest of the country, guys. But there's a study out that clearly indicates that if you look at what percentage of our income we pay on gasoline, because the average income in Oklahoma is less than, say, the East Coast, the West Coast, New York, California, even though their gasoline prices are higher, in fact, we pay a bigger percentage of our income to buy our fuel than any of the rest of the country. And in so much of the state, because we're a spread-out rural state, we have to drive farther to go to work, to go to school, to go to the doctor, to buy our necessities. So this hits us harder than it does a lot of the folks in the East and the West Coast are screaming. And there's some other effects of this higher gasoline price, too. As consumption has slowed, because after all, at $4 a gallon now, you can't afford as much as you could when it was $3 a gallon. And I suspect, guys, we don't do something about supply, by the time this summer's over with it, maybe $5 a gallon. That means people are burning less gasoline because they just simply can't afford to. And in Oklahoma and in the nation as a whole, the motor fuel tax, the thing that pays for the roads and the bridges and the highways, is not a percentage tax on gasoline. It's so many cents a gallon. So it's the same, basically, 18 cents a gallon federal tax, whether gasoline is $1.80 a gallon or $4 a gallon. So people are buying less gasoline. So there's less money going into the Highway Transportation Fund, which puts pressure then on the construction projects. So those factors are all there. Now, what do we do about it? The laws of supply and demand, you can't repeal market economics. As long as demand stays consistent or doesn't drop dramatically and supply doesn't increase, then price goes up. So how do we turn this situation around, guys? I'm a part of a crowd that's believed and advocated and voted for a long, long time that you've got to increase supply and supplies of American oil and gas. You and I have talked about that before. So we in Congress who want to increase supply are pushing this bunch up here to try and do that. Now, Speaker Pelosi is more concerned about greenhouse gases and getting away from the fossil fuel economy than she is the price of gasoline. I sincerely believe that by her actions. So what we're attempting to do is force bills to open up offshore drilling in a safe way, to open up more public lands and private lands in the United States for drilling, to open up production increases in places like Alaska, to increase all forms of domestic energy. Now, under the rules of the House, the Speaker can direct her committee chairman not to let things come out, and that's what we're encountering on these bills. But there is an old rule that dates back maybe a century plus that says that if a majority of the membership, 218 of the 335, sign what they refer to as a discharge petition, the bill has to come immediately to the floor. And we've launched into a series of discharge petitions, one to increase to make it possible to build more refineries to turn crude oil into gasoline and diesel. Another discharge petition will be focused on offshore drilling and the additional lands, but an effort to increase supplies of oil and gas so that we can take the pressure off price and the strain that's really hitting people in our area and across the country hard, reduce that.
All right, and of course, Americans say, last couple of days, Saudi Arabia said they will increase production. Americans kind of took offense to that, saying we want control, we want more control. What you propose, that would give Americans more control over the price. What is your thoughts on Saudi Arabia increasing their production to lower prices?
At $135 a barrel, of course, when they increase their production, that just takes that much more money out of this country and puts it into their pockets. I see why they're concerned about the price. Not only do they not want to create a recession in the Western world where they have much of their money invested, guys, but but also they don't want prices to get so high that it drives us dramatically in the direction of renewable fuels or electric cars or alternatives, and ultimately clamps down on the consumption of the crude oil they produce. I understand where they're coming from, and I think also they understand that they can't choke the goose that keeps laying those golden eggs when they sell that crude oil. So what they're doing is probably enlightened self-interest, I suppose would be the phrase, but they don't have enough production capacity right now to dramatically, extra capacity, to dramatically impact price. The key still comes back here at home. How do you come up with more ways to meet the energy demand from American sources here at home? And in the short run, the next 10, 20 years, that means more drilling for oil and gas. That means bringing more of it up out of the ground that exists. I've seen statistics that would indicate that there are potentially billions of barrels off the U.S. coast. There's potentially hundreds of millions of barrels still in Alaska to be tapped, potentially billions of barrels in the United States, if we will access those things. And not only crude oil in the intermediate, but the continued push for wind energy, the continued push to begin the process of building more atomic power plants to generate electricity, to take pressure off these other resources, the push for ever increasing ways to ever increasingly burn coal cleaner, the clean coal concept, and the renewables also. We have the ability to produce a tremendous amount of energy in this country. We're the Saudi Arabia of wind in the Great Plains. We are literally the biggest coal possessor in the world. I keep reminding all of my energy producer friends that the demand is there to support all those industries. I'm not picking one over another, guys. I want to increase all domestic sources of energy. Because after all, if the power that comes out of the plug in your house, or the diesel that goes into your truck or tractor, the gasoline that goes into your car, the wherever your energy source comes from, if it's coming from the United States, that money's going then back into our economy, supporting our fellow citizens who work to produce that, helping the companies that make the hard decisions, that develop it, that bring it to market. We have to encourage domestic sources of energy on all fronts. And I'm a supporter of the total package. That's where I disagree right now with the leadership of the United States House. They want to target us towards particular areas. They want to restrain other areas. They want to pick and choose which energy is good and which energy is bad. My perspective is, especially in the intermediate run, U.S. energy is good, and we need to encourage good U.S. sources of energy in all forms. And if we'll push it hard on every front, we may not become totally unhooked from imported crude oil, but we can dramatically reduce our dependency on imported crude oil, and we can encourage these other sources so that that no matter what happens to imported crude oil, there'll always be electricity when you turn the switch. When the technology for better batteries come along in urban areas, they may never be practical in rural areas. In urban areas, electric cars may be a factor. All of these things. Whether it's discharge petitions or whatever, we've got to get us back in the business of increasing the supply of American-made energy.
All right, now you got to keep on fighting them on that. I hope you do, and we'll get to something else too. And I know what's important around this part of the area, north central Oklahoma, is gun rights, and I know that was in the news recently.
Exactly. I am a co-sponsor of H.R. 4900, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, Explosive Reform, and Firearms Modernization Act of 2007. It is a very long title, but basically what the bill does, it cleans up ATF regulations, rolls back unnecessary restrictions, corrects errors, codifies congressional policy. Basically, it is an effort to make sure that our fellow citizens are given proper warning, that their rights are protected when it comes to gun shows and possession of their firearms. It's just one of those multi-purpose pieces of legislation that will go through and clean up potentially 10 or 20 years of miscellaneous, confused rules and regulations. And our listeners out there who are supportive of the Second Amendment, I suspect, guys, have a clear understanding of what I'm getting at. If you're interested and you've got access to the Internet, look up H.R. 4900, and you can go through the draft of the bill. But it is a It's just one of those things we need to do if we're going to make sure that saying that we have rights to bear arms in this country really means we have the right to bear arms.
All right, Congressman, and I know you're busy today, and of course, this may be the last time you talk to me. If I can come up with a battery-operated car and McCain gives me $300 million, then you won't talk to me again. I'm working on it right now. I got all my Duracells right here in front of me.
I might happily become your chauffeur someday, guys, in that scenario.
All right, you have a great day there in the nation's capital. Thanks, Congressman, for dropping in with us, all right?
Thanks, guys.